Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza. Hello. Today we'd like to go on a journey and study an ever-growing social phenomenon, an intriguing one, visiting Kivrei Tzadikim, the tomb or the graves of the righteous. We see that many people, both Israelis and also tourists, go to visit the graves of the righteous. They really became touristic places. And we'd like to talk about the different intriguing aspects of this phenomenon. Nitza, please. Yeah, we see that in recent years, the phenomenon of visiting the graves of the righteous is going and growing. And we see that it's not about your ethnicity, whether you're a man or a woman. People from all walks of life, in short, visit the graves of the righteous, Kivrei Tzadikim. One out of every three Israelis visits the graves of the righteous at least once every 2 years, which is tremendous. And this phenomenon really creates or raises many, many questions. And this is what we'd like to talk to you about today. Please. And so we know that visiting the graves of the righteous is a custom that existed throughout the generations. And we'd like to understand what's behind it, behind the custom of visiting the graves of the righteous. Well, first of all, we need to see who is the righteous. And what does it mean that he passed away? And what is his burial place? And a person that maybe has nothing to do with that righteous, maybe only heard about him, what does he get out of connecting to that? The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of spiritual concepts, that in this world, in material, in matter, there is no holiness, there is nothing holy about it, and materialism. Maybe there is some kind of personal attitude, something nostalgic about it. Like for me, for example, there are different things that were left after my teacher who passed away. May he rest in peace. So I keep them. I can't simply throw them away. He used them, and therefore, from that, I have a kind of a pleasant feeling that these are the things that he used. For example, I respect his cup, his talit, different things, scriptures undoubtedly, because he lived in this world and these things served him. But that's it. Neither in the paper or in the cup or in whatever he used to hold is there anything holy. But it depends on the person that wishes to connect to that righteous, that wishes to rise to that same degree, that he gets some kind of inner force from it, that he's willing to perform different actions in order to rise to the degree of that righteous. Meaning, there's a psychological effect here. Psychological effect. We can't rule it out. It's a very strong force that gives a person lots of strength. And these thoughts and feelings, he's willing to sacrifice his life for it. But still, we need to understand that it's merely a psychological phenomenon. There's nothing spiritual. There's no spiritual force here. And that I want to be close to some object that was left after some great person. Suppose he was really great. He was in revelation of the Creator. He was on a spiritual degree. By acquiring his things, it doesn't give me any preferability or priority in reaching his degree and revealing the Creator, etc. You talked about belongings, things that belonged to the righteous. But when we're talking about the grave of a righteous, not only that, I also want to say, I want to say the same about his relatives. About there are many things here about the relatives of the righteous who passed away, meaning that in my eyes, these people, they're special because there's ancestral merit that he gave birth to sons, to daughters, his wife, maybe she's still alive, and other people, his apartment, everything that was around him while he was still alive. Do these things have some kind of a reshimon, some kind of impression, spiritual impression, meaning from him, from what he was, in his clothes, and but especially in the people around him? Yes or no? Why? Why should there be? He, suppose, was entirely engaged in spirituality and the forces of bestowal and love of others. He was an attainment of the Creator. The Creator was revealed to him in his inner vessels. And so what's the connection between them and his inner vessels? No connection. No connection. We also see it from many sources that write about it. So suppose people that were close to that person, they have nothing, no relation to the attainment, spiritual attainment of that righteous. So where does the concept of ancestral merit come from? Ancestral merit, that's something else. Fathers and sons, these are 2 degrees, and if I'm adhered to the higher degree, that's called ancestors. Then by being adhered to that degree, I merit a special force, special light that purifies me, that gives me the strength to rise above my ego, called merit, zchut in Hebrew from the word zakut, purity. Suppose I want to connect to the great Shimon Bar Yochai that's buried at Mount Meron. Take his Torah, his method, start realizing it, and then it means that you're drawing the reforming light. In order to connect to him, in order to reach the same degree, go through the same path as he did. Suppose I do all these things and I succeed in connecting to the great Shimon Bar Yochai. No, it's not Shimon Bar Yochai the way you imagine him. It's not some persona or anything. It's a degree that anyone that reaches it, he becomes as the great Shimon Bar Yochai. I can be like the great Shimon Bar Yochai. Anyone can be as Moses or Patriarch. And that means that I connect to the righteous when you reach the same degree, yes. But again, I'm cautious to say that you connect to the righteous because the way you grasp it is by attributing corporeal characteristics to it. Because what does it mean to connect? To connect to his force. He has a force. His force is the force of the degree that that person attained. That's why it's called righteous. Righteous means that he justifies the Creator for the entire will to receive that has awoken in him and that he rose above his will to receive, and thanks to it, in his ascent, he has reached the desire to bestow, resembled himself to the Creator, and therefore he has reached a certain degree called tzaddik, righteous. So he has spiritual, the righteous has spiritual force. What do you mean, has? Well, the great Shimon Bar Yochai, Moses, Joshua. Yeah, but where is the great Shimon Bar Yochai? He's no longer alive anymore. He's no longer alive anymore. This I don't understand. Who is he that was alive and now is no longer alive? So what form does he exist in? So I'm asking you, does he exist? It is a certain spiritual degree. That's it. And the desire that has corrected itself to the extent of a certain degree was then called the great Shimon Bar Yochai. It is a certain spiritual degree. Yes, and therefore everyone needs to become as Moses, our patriarch, which is also a spiritual degree. Yeah, the highest of them all. So each of those righteous throughout history, regardless when they lived, 1,000, 2,000 years ago, yeah, doesn't matter. They're like different degrees of spiritual development. They define a certain degree. Yeah, that's it. But it's also the root of the soul that has attained the Creator in a special way, in a specific way. Aside of the degree itself, each that reaches that degree attains the Creator in a certain way from the internality of their own soul, their connection. But on a level that we call, this is what the great Shimon Bar Yochai has come to, has reached. The fact is that he wrote about it in the book of Zohar. So you understand from the book of Zohar, when you reach it, that he also wrote about it. So does a person have some way to connect to the soul of the righteous? Of course, but it has nothing to do with the trip. Okay, how then? In simple words, by studying the wisdom of Kabbalah and the proper group, the right group, together with people like him that get together and connect and build a group between them, just like the group of Rabbi Shimon and Ramchal, any great Kabbalist had a group of people that have connected between them and have arranged the relations between them in such a way that these were relations of bestowal, of love, of connection, above each and everyone's ego, by way of love covers all crimes. And in this network of connections between them, they start revealing a mutual inclination towards everyone, toward the center of their connection. And then they became as one man in one heart. And then in the measure to which they become as one, then they start feeling that one force that exists in the whole of reality called Creator. Creator or righteous? I don't understand. The force that they attain in their connection, this force, you can call it righteous. You can call it righteous. But what they attain inside that force is the Creator. So that's why it's said that through the righteous you reach the Creator. If you can explain a bit more about it, I think it's a very interesting concept. We talk about it all the time because we aspire for it and try to realize it. Again, it's all with usually 10 people, which is a minyan. That's the minimum, preferably 10. With 10 people that wish to spiritually ascend, they connect between them. They try to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, because precisely the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the internality of the Torah and the Torah of truth. It tells a person that the only thing that one needs to attain in life is to love your fellow man, love another as yourself. And if they work on loving each other inside their circle, then in the center of their circle, as if we all come, they all come with their desire to bestow. All the bodies, their egoistic desires of all kinds, they as if remain behind. And they all aspire to build between them a network of mutual connections, which is altruistic, mutual love. And then they realize what it says in Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, that you need to be as one man and one heart. Don't do to others what you hate. Love another as yourself, to be in a connection of mutual guarantee toward one another. And then in the circle between them, when all these conditions start to fall into place, they start discovering that they have a common force called mutual bestowal. It can't be in one person. There have to be other people. That's why it says, chavruta o mituta, together or you're among the dead. And then, in the connection between them, in their desire to bestow outside of the egoistic desire, they start revealing a phenomenon called righteous. It is the force of bestowal, the force of love, the force of giving. It's called righteous. And in that phenomenon called righteous, they reveal the Creator. according to the equivalence of form with them. So maybe man's ability to attain that quality of the righteous is really in common work, in a certain process, wherever a person is in the world, or in the land of Israel, or in the world, doesn't matter where these people are, they need to isolate themselves somehow from the influence of the external environment and to correctly connect between them, and they achieve the degree of the righteous, and between them attain the Creator. And this degree has 125 degrees. It's the degree of bestowal, the degree of bina. Do the righteous have a certain role in relation to us, those that are still here? I'm talking about those righteous that are not among the living anymore. There's no such thing as not among the living, right? Because it's a quality, it's a certain force. But the righteous have a role. These partsufs, these desires, partsuf means a desire that is properly arranged. They have, their role is to draw the upper light and to somehow bestow, direct it toward the egoistic desires that are dressed in, let's call it, human bodies. It's not that what I'm saying is spiritually precise, but I have no choice but to talk that way. That in each and every person there is an egoistic desire, and the righteous, meaning these qualities, these forces, that exist around us, let's say, they try to influence us, awaken us to rise to their degree too. Because actually, to elevate the entire humanity to the degree of the righteous, to raise the whole of humanity to the degree of the righteous, is what we need to do. I know many people that have an attraction to a specific righteous or to its content. There could be those that are drawn to the content of a righteous, like, suppose, I don't know, Rabbi Nachman from Uman. There are different other contents of other righteous. There's like an inner inclination to connect to a certain righteous and maybe to another righteous less. Is there something like that? Yes and no, because a person in this world is very confused. If, suppose, I'm an Ashkenazian or a Sephardic, then I want to be drawn to something that's close to my ethnic background. There are many people that are drawn or adhere to Ben Ish Chai or Chabad or different other forms. But I understand it differently. A person that nowadays, not in previous years, but nowadays is in this world, needs to examine where exactly is that method by which he reveals the Creator according to the law of Kvod and Suform. Where is really that method that elevates him in spirituality and doesn't just provide him with inner calm so that he feels himself whole and perfect? And it doesn't matter what public exactly does he relate to or belong to from the people of Israel. He needs to connect to the real authentic wisdom of Kabbalah that really talks about correction. Not much to add here. It's according to a person's inclination. Nonetheless, that's how it works. But more and more people, they start scrutinizing these things and see what can really help them to be as far as possible from their ego, which is this world, and to be as close as possible to the next world, which is the force of bestowal and love. From your words, I see that there are several things that are like neighbors, and I want to understand the difference between each of them. So I'll tell you, not neighbors, but there's always a certain phenomenon that has panim and dachoraim, posterior and exterior, each phenomenon. And therefore, each time I talk either from this side or from that side. So, what I saw from everything that you taught us today is that there is religious phenomena, there is psychological phenomena, there is spiritual phenomena. Suppose these three: religious things, psychological things, spiritual things. Can you define each of them so they'll be organized in my mind? What's something religious, what's psychological, and what's spiritual? Religious and psychological are one and the same. Okay, so that's one thing. And spiritual is another thing. So define the one and place the other. What are religious and psychological phenomena? Religious and psychological phenomena is that we teach a person from birth or after he comes to us. We teach him what's the best way to be connected to the heritage, to the nation, to the culture and education of the nation. This is something that I say about all religions, not necessarily about Judaism. And we teach him different actions and mitzvot, and he becomes a part of the nation that we're used to seeing as the people of Israel. It has nothing to do with the spirituality, because by that we don't correct his ego, the human nature. We don't direct him to come closer to the upper force, the Creator, because to come closer means that he rises above his ego. And religions don't teach man, no religion. Certainly, neither does Judaism. Do they teach a person how to rise above the ego? But to the contrary, we see that the more religions increase, we see that religions increase a person's ego. They promise him this world, the next world. Everything is to his benefit, to his pleasure. And opposite to that is the wisdom of Kabbalah that talks about the correction of man's desire, meaning the correction of man's ego, the correction of his desire to receive pleasure, that comes by the reforming light, that through the wisdom of Kabbalah and being treated by an environment that studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, a person awakens upon himself a certain force that exists in nature, and that force works on a person, really changes him, and inverts him from egoist to altruist, into a giver, lover, until he comes to the realization of the rule of love another as yourself is the great rule of the Torah. Then it means that he's engaged in the Torah of truth, and this is how he discovers the Creator, according to the law of equivalence of form. Our time's up all the time before we get to ask everything that we want. We can continue, of course, on our next show. Thank you very much, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.